step-by-step approach to improving yourself and your organization, here's Alan Rodway.
Always on a Thursday, Al's with us from Your Coach on yourcoachonline.com.au, your one-stop shop for awesomeness. G'day, Al.
How are you, Harf? And I love that saying. Keep saying it.
It's a good saying.
How are you?
Your one-stop shop, it is. It's great. Check it out on the website, yourcoachonline.com.au. I'm going well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I've been very busy, and we're going to talk about a topic today that might have a very boring topic, a very boring name, but it's extremely important. And we put an article on the Your Coach Online website called Budget or Bust?
Now, it seems
sounds
to
boring,
be,
doesn't it?
No, it seems to be, if I'm running a business and I read that headline and I think, oh, I probably should read that, then I'm in trouble, I reckon. If I have to read that headline and go, ooh, what I reckon that's good for me. Yep. I should read this and find out whether or not what I'm doing at the moment is good for my business. I reckon if you read that and that's your reaction, you need to keep reading.
Yeah. Look, it's the article on the site's a fairly technical and lengthy article, but it's extremely important. And I called it Budget or Bust to sort of wake some people up. That I don't mean that unkindly. There's just too many privately owned businesses that don't do enough about this. And I'll give you the common sayings that I hear from businesses why they won't do is I say, well, our business is too small to bother with it.
Right.
Imagine if a business is so small that the owner doesn't care about them. Well, of course they do. It's as important to them as it is a big business is to their owner. So that's just a flawed statement. We don't have the expertise to do it. That's often accurate. A little business is not going to have an in-house financial controller or accountant or even bookkeeper.
CFO.
You're not going to have a CFO.
Not getting a CFO in there, Al.
This is off the point. We talk about this C level. You know what that is? That's like the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, COO, Chief Operating Officer, etc. The emerging one is you're grinning at me, Daniel. This is a fact.
I don't know where you're going.
Is the head of digital marketing. Now that's actually starting to emerge. Then, like you sort of had
CDM, Chief of Digital Marketing.
Yeah. Chief of digital, like you don't hear, you have CIOs now, they never used to exist years ago. You might have someone in charge of your IT, but now you have a CIO at that C level, which means they're privy to the top decision making. But so not having in-house expertise about financial budgeting doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. The first thing you've got to do is talk to your accountant, and if that's too expensive or if they're not interested in being party to it, then you need to talk to someone else who can help you, but you can't just bypass it. Third is we don't have time.
Yes.
That's a fundamental misunderstanding of this, that budgeting improves profit. And that's the thing that little businesses don't understand. They think, well, budgeting's just something that, someone's telling us we should do or it's boring and all that sort of stuff. It actually improves profit.
Well, how does it do that?
Well, you have to – the budget's not a piece of paper. It's not a document, and that's why – that's a really boring topic if that's what it is, and that's what too many businesses think it is. It's just a document where we guess our revenues and we guess our expenses and we end up with this predicted figure for profit.
Yep.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a process with fully-fledged decision-making and disciplines behind it that improve the business itself and therefore will improve the profit. So it's a lot more than just sort of guessing a few numbers and putting – an annual total on a piece of paper. It's about getting people involved in the revenue generation to commit to the numbers in the coming year and sign off on them saying that we commit to everything it takes to achieve those numbers. And for anyone that's responsible for expenses to do the same thing, we'll keep expenditure within those limits. So, and that, of course, says that you're going to involve, if not everybody in the budgeting process, which I think should happen, even in bigger businesses, at least your key people in doing it. So it's a process that should start at least 2 months before the financial year begins, at least, because it takes that long.
Yep.
Because you're going to have to go back and gather past financial data and ensure that it's reasonably accurate and use that as the basis for sort of what you're going to predict in the coming 12 months.
But are there people out there listening at the moment that are saying, that's all very well and good, but my business, I don't know what's happening tomorrow, let alone what's happening in 7 months' time, 10 months' time. I can't guess how much work's coming in. Where does this leave me?
Absolutely. And that is the biggest objection to it. And look, there's some validity in the statement. I mean, none of us can actually predict the future. But if you look at bigger businesses, I mean, they're predicting how many litres of fuel that they use and what's the price of that fuel and what's the price of energy that they're going to have to pay in 12 months' time. It is actually possible. It's not just a matter of sort of waving a wand and going or throwing something up there and saying where it landed. You actually need to put some real thought into this to say, if your first reaction is we wouldn't have a clue where we're going to be in 9 months' time, I mean, think that through. Think what that means in terms, where's the planning in that business? It's got to be an educated process, not just sort of you know, pick a number and go with the guesswork behind it. So that's the biggest objection, but it's just not a valid one. It's got to be a process.
And this probably comes back to a discussion we have had many times about working on your business as opposed to working just in your business day to day, having some sort of vision for what you want to be, where you stand in your industry, in your little niche, whatever you want to be, how you can grow it, rather than just working the day to day, which some people always find difficult to do because of the time restrictions or the size of their business is probably the biggest one, isn't it?
Yep, always. Look, a one or two person business that turns over, you know, let's put it right down, that turns over, you know, $80,000 or $150,000 in total revenue, they will be the first to be screaming, we can't do budgets. We're too busy. It's not important enough for me. We're too little. We haven't got a clue. It's extremely important for those businesses to do it. Or you're going to keep turning over 80 grand. You know, what are you doing? Day by day, you're doing exactly what you've been doing in the past. So the process is a gathering of data and the manipulation of that data moving forward to go into what I call line by line discussions. And this is probably the easiest way to explain to listeners why budgeting is just so powerful. If you look at, and what I'm saying is, I don't want just a whole set of annual numbers. I actually want it month by month. I don't want them all just divided by 12 because you don't just sort of, you know, even
that's how
wages
I do the gas bill. That's how I do the gas one at home, Al. Tally it all up, divide by 12. This is what happens.
Things are seasonal. They fall in different months and they're different in different months. Revenue figures alter month by month. So you've got to put some time into it to say, what numbers do we actually expect in July, if indeed your financial year is July to June? What do we expect in July and then what alterations occur? So it's month by month and it's seasonalised for every one of them. And then you can start having discussions around, look at the revenue numbers. And the first question I'd ask is, have we categorised the revenues or you just got a total number? Because if the business has got more than one segment, if you're a plumbing business and you're doing plumbing work, but you might also be selling plumbing supplies, you might have different forms of work that you want to categorise. So there's a lot of questions that then go into those revenues, not the least of which is, are they realistic numbers that we're trying to achieve?
All right, well, let's go through that line by line. After the break, Al, we'll get our heads around it and just be able to articulate that very cleanly for our listening audience out there. You can track this article down, by the way, at Al's website, yourcoachonline.com.au, your one-stop shop for awesomeness. Quarter two, back with more. Alan Robway with it from yourcoachonline.com.au. The article on the website at the moment, Budget or Bust. If you read that, if you're listening to that, you think, ooh, I probably should listen, then I reckon you should read it because you might be doing things that aren't helping your business and will keep you where you are forever. If that's okay, then that's cool. If you want to grow, then maybe this is a way you can streamline your process, make it more effective, more efficient, get better behaviours out, which we talk about a lot, and more discipline to your business as well.
Yep, it is. And that first line by line issue that I'm talking about, half in terms of revenues, other questions that should be asked. So I'm talking about when you look at the draft budget. So it hasn't been signed off by the business. You look at the draft budget and you look at the revenue figures according to the segments within the business, and other questions like, has this properly considered what competitors are doing and what they might do? Has it properly considered what price rises we could achieve? Has it properly considered what's actually going on in the market, et cetera, et cetera? So that it's the conversation around that draft budget is driving. And then you go to like a business that's selling stock or is buying stock, and you look at the levels of stock and say, well, are there gains to be made compared to the way this budget looks in terms of the levels of stock we carry? What do we do about old stock? What do we do about stock losses?
Yep.
And what might we be able to do to increase the margins that we're selling our stock for? So there's another set of questions. You look at, say, an advertising expense for a business, even for little businesses, and you know, it might be small, but just say, well, is the advertising and marketing spend likely to generate the revenue for us? And or is it in the right areas? And is it swinging quickly enough to the digital marketing area where the whole world of business is going that we talked about a few days ago? If you look at the IT expense, you know, we're paying X hundred or X thousand dollars to an external IT consultant. Is that a good spend? And has enough consideration been given to the use we might make of the cloud? So you have that sort of conversation. And a really big one in here is wages. Oh, okay. Firstly, what's the proportion of wages of your total revenue?
Is there a number it should be?
A lot of businesses will want that to be around a third of their total revenue.
Okay.
around a third, but you know that's really just a guide.
Yep.
Look, I've got some clients who would run that around down around 28%, and I've got some clients that are running at around 40, sometimes 45%. But if you're doing that, I mean, this is where this is so important. If you're running a wages expense or you're like a personnel expense around that 40-45% mark, you're categorically risking your profit, depending on the nature of the industry. But it's got to be looked at if that's what it represents. So that's a good conversation. And the other thing is, that in terms of wages and salaries and superannuation, is does the budget cater for new people who might come on and when?
Yep.
And does it cater for wage increases and when and performance reviews when they come on? And again, if it's a one-person business going to two, it's still the same question. It doesn't sort of belittle the importance of doing that. I talked about price increases. Have they been factored in right through the budget? Insurance is another cost.
Yeah.
Really good conversation. Are the premiums as low as they could be? Have they been negotiated to what they should be through your broker, if that's what you're using? Not at the expense of risking the coverage that those policies will give you, but have they been negotiated to the lowest levels possible, and is the budget reflecting that? Interest expense is another one. So, well, a lot of businesses are financed through debt, not just through equity of the owner. And are the arrangements that are in place from a finance perspective, from banks or whatever, are they as best that can be achieved? Even through to questions like, if you're on principal and interest loans, is there opportunity to move them to interest-only loans or the other way around? What might the savings be? And a much broader question is the business financed proportionately, appropriately between debt and equity? Now, that all sounds really technical, but it's actually basic stuff to say. The fact that you've got an interest expense in your P&L draft budget causes the discussion, well, should it be there? Should it be at that level? Maybe it should even be higher if maybe you should increase the financing component of the way you're running your business. So that's a good discussion as well.
Is this all as relevant to small businesses, say, 5 to 10 people? We obviously would assume the big businesses are in it, but what about the bloke who's out there just plumbing by himself?
Yeah.
He's come out of his apprenticeship and he's decided to go out on his own, and that's it. He is it. He or she might be a she plumber out there doing their thing. What is this as relevant a discussion for them?
It is. And
should they be going through all these checks and balances?
In all honesty, I wouldn't expect to win that argument with anyone in that boat. I wouldn't. And there's a few SMSs sitting in now that are saying that. You know, that a lot of what you're saying, Alan, is not relevant to us for two reasons. For two reasons, SMS is saying. One is that we're being undercut by overseas labour costs.
Yep.
And there's no question. I mean, that is a massive issue for Australian business. That's why so much of our work's being outsourced to overseas, to the Philippines and India and China and so on and so on and so on. Massive issue. And the second is, well, what's this got to do with us when we're struggling to get work in the first place? Well, And I'm absolutely not dismissing that. And thanks for the text. I'm not dismissing that at all. I'm saying because those two things are true is why this is valid. Mm. That you still have to sit down and go through it and saying, well, okay, last year, you know, in our one or two person business, we turned over $180,000. By the time I paid me and one other person, I made X thousand dollars out of it. And work's drying up and it's getting harder and harder to compete with what could be done overseas, whatever it is. So what'll I do? That's what I'm talking about. That conversation's got to be had through May and June in terms of what's the coming year look like given those trends and what might you do about it. So we're sort of back to working on the business again.
It gives you a battle plan.
Well, it does. Because, I mean, the SMS is completely valid. I mean, I've got clients everywhere saying, well, all these disciplines you talk about in business are all very well, but if we can't get enough revenue, that's the point. That's the first conversation. We can't get enough revenue. What are you going to do about that? Mm. If competitors are killing you, and in this case, overseas suppliers or whatever, then you have to have the discussion around what that is. You mightn't want to call it a budgeting discussion. I don't care. But you still have to have that conversation about what's the level of revenue going to be, given the two facts that you just put on the table to me. Because if they remain in place, you follow that through. Where's that going?
It's not going to a very nice place.
Not That's pretty.
Not very nice at all. I would suggest if you're in that boat, even if you're not, but you think it's relevant to you, then check out the website, yourcoachonline.com.au. Have a read. Work out what's good for you, what applies. It does seem to make sense, though, even if you are in that situation, have some sort of plan as to where you're going. If you don't know where you're going,
you're not going to get there.
You're not going to get there. How do you get there, Al? That's why you go to yourcoachonline.com.au, your one-stop shop for awesomeness. Al, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Half.
I'm going to catch you
good
next
to see
week,
you.
Same time, same channel. Back shortly.
Thanks.